world in which we too often look out for ourselves, at the expense of others, God calls us to be different. Philippians 2 says, "Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." Welcome to Gateway to Joy, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, concluding today 5 talks on power through weakness. Friendship is a wonderful gift. Someone to do what Jonathan did for David. A friend strengthens our hands in God. Are you one of those people who has lots of friends? No friends? Well, I have a letter here from a lady who says she needs a friend. And that is a common complaint. We need a friend, we don't really have one. She says, "I especially desire one close friend. I've always had trouble making friends. I'm 42. Even when I get involved at the church and other Christian groups, it seems these days that no one has time for additional relationships. I battle depression constantly. I don't want to give in to this because I know I can't glorify God if I'm depressed. Most of my days seem so pointless." Well, this was my answer to her. My heart beats with yours in the desire for a close woman friend. My 2 closest friends are now in the state of Washington and New Jersey. There's no one anywhere near here with whom I can talk freely about the things that matter most. Not having such a friend forces me to find my whole satisfaction in the Lord Himself. This is a great privilege and a needed lesson for us, don't you think? If we were to spend the time which we'd like to spend with a close friend, with Jesus instead, wouldn't our lives be the richer for it? Sometimes we think we, quote, need, unquote, a friend. If we really do, we can be assured that the Lord will give us one, because He has promised to supply all our needs. So this is our chance to leave it with Him in perfect trust, not fretting because we lack something. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And want, of course, means lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I have everything I need. Now, there is something positive that we can do. I, like you, I wrote in my letter, do not make friends easily. Probably the reason is that we are thinking of ourselves, wondering if we really have anything worth offering to the other person, fearing rejection, telling ourselves, oh, she wouldn't want to be a friend to me. I can remember going into the lunchroom when I was maybe in the 3rd grade or 4th grade and looking around over the whole lunchroom and thinking, is there anybody here that would be willing to let me sit with them at lunch? And I found a girl named Anita Love, and I think Anita had the same thing in her mind. And so Anita Love and I would eat our lunch together. A real problem, a real pitfall, I should say, thinking of ourselves. And what's the remedy? To think of somebody else. To ask yourself, what can I do to cheer her up? Ask God specifically to lead you to someone whom you can bless by sacrificial love. There might be a young woman nearby who starved for an older woman to mother her. Are you taking that command to us older women seriously? If you had a close friend with whom you could pour out your heart, would you also have time to minister to that lonely younger woman? Probably not. Give yourself unstintingly to her. Maybe God would, in His own way and time, give you the friend that you're seeking. And, surprise, she might be the one you've reached out to in the manner of Titus 2. But, of course, that's up to God. It's our business simply to obey what He says we're to do. I believe that if you follow His leading in this, you will find that your days are far from pointless. No Christian should be living a pointless life. Is your husband not meeting your needs? Well, I've sometimes said laughingly, if I had all three of my husbands at the same time, they would not be able to meet my needs. No human being can meet our needs. What are our legitimate needs? Only the Lord really knows. And the Lord has promised to supply all of them, all of our needs. But we have to let Him be the judge of what they are. Now, He could straighten that man out, that husband who doesn't share, but He has some other plans that He isn't explaining to you. Trust me, He says. You feel helpless, weak, needy, frustrated, lonely, perhaps in pain, emotional or physical, as the Apostle Paul was when he had that thorn, that famous thorn of 2 Corinthians 12. Hear the last stanza of the hymn, Loved with Everlasting Love, and the fourth stanza says, His forever, only His, who the Lord and me shall part? Ah, with what a rest of bliss Christ can fill a loving heart. Heaven and earth may fade and flee, firstborn light in gloom decline. But while God and I shall be, I am His, and He is mine. Would you like a spiritual exercise for growth in humility? Someone has given the answer. Live with reality and be thankful. Live with reality, that is, with your particular set of circumstances, your weaknesses, your difficulties. Live with it and be thankful. That's a great spiritual exercise for growth in humility. 1 Timothy 6:15 is translated in one of the more modern translations, speaking of Jesus Christ, that He is the blessed controller of all things. And those of you who only want the King James, I think if you looked up the King James Version of 1 Timothy 6:15, you would agree that the implication there is that He is indeed the blessed controller of all things. Psalm 138:8 says, The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Now suppose that St. Paul had kept hammering on God's door about that thorn he was suffering from. Instead of saying, Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities. I can hear a voice plaintively asking, But Elizabeth, are you saying it's wrong to ask? Paul was not scolded for asking, but his ear was open to the still, small voice. His relationship with God was intimate enough, he trusted his Heavenly Father enough to believe that he had been heard, and after the third time he knew it was time simply to receive the thorn, to accept it gladly, in the confidence that God's purpose was a far higher one than he had imagined. Here's a passage from one of my favorite books. The false love is not only expressed in a self-willed choice of evil in defiance of the law of God. Detachment means much more than that. There is a second sort of choice, not of evil as against good, but of a thing good in itself as against what is God's will for you at any given moment. You may say there is nothing wrong in this action, this interest, this possession in itself, and you may be right, but it may not be God's will for you. We ought not to make ourselves the arbiters of good and evil. In these two, there is the same essential sin, for it is still the human judgment which is being deified, the divine which is denied. Sometimes this problem will present itself in terms of an unbearable tension between the claims of a true human love and obedience to God. all one's instincts and feelings, all one's judgment and deep desire for another's good, will rise up and cry out, I cannot do this. I cannot cause all this suffering and all this harm for the sake of a principle. And then you have to try to remember that in fact we just do not know with any certainty what, on the long view, is for another's good. We just cannot foresee the consequences of our actions. We just do not understand the depths of the problem of suffering. And the only thing we can do, if we want to be wise, is to trust in the judgments of God. I think that touches all of us who are mothers and grandmothers. We think we know what's best for our children, and we pray to that end, but we don't always know, do we? Of course, when my grandson went to South America, I was thinking of all sorts of possible disasters that could happen to him. I prayed that God would keep him safe, and I told you the other day that God allowed this boy, Walter, who's now 19 years old, to be robbed, not just once, but twice. Why would God allow this? That is not my problem. We do not understand the depths of the problem of suffering. And the only thing we can do if we want to be wise is to trust in the judgments of God. And God's word tells us power comes to its full strength in weakness.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.